Poetry Rocks Tool 14, the lyric. And the purpose of the lyric is to work and play with sound in your poems through using rhyme, slant rhyme, and or internal rhyme. And we'll get into those terms in a minute. Now, you have no doubt noticed that many contemporary poets, including me, don't use rhyme, at least in the traditional way that we're all familiar with. You know, we're so adept at identifying a pattern of words with the same ending sounds at the end of lines of poetry that even if we had never heard this old ditty, we'd know what words must fill in the blanks. Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. You know, I can hear you all chiming in as you're listening. All the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put Humpty together. And there comes the again. And when rhymes fall like this at the ends of lines of poems, they're called logically end rhymes. Internal rhyme, just as logically, is rhyme that occurs anywhere within the body of a poem as opposed to the end of lines. And there's no hard and fast rule about how close these internal rhymes should be to each other in a poem, but they have to be near enough to create a nice sound effect, even if it's a subtle one. So if you listen in my poem Desire, I have two internal rhymes in here. Am I coming to feed you? They warned me you'd be trouble. You and your endless cravings. Yes, and your needs. Food, water. So you may not have heard that you'd and food, which is, even though they're not spelled the same way, that's an exact sound rhyme. And I'm going to swing into talking about something called a slant rhyme. Feed and needs almost rhyme, but because one of them has that S on the end, they're not quite an exact rhyme, which makes them a slant rhyme, and sometimes that's called approximate rhyme. And as you'd expect, a slant rhyme is an inexact thing. The words used in this way have one or more similar sounds, like the same final consonant sound or the same vowel sound or blend. And I'm going to read you a couple examples that I got out of John Drury's Creating Poetry: gull girl, shine thin, gleam home, work earth. And you may have already leapt to the conclusion, oh, that's really the same thing as assonance or consonance. Yeah, that's what makes up slant rhyme, is the repetition of at least one of those consonant or vowel sounds. And you know, some people just feel like that is not rhyme. And, you know, I didn't make up the term slant rhyme, but I love it. And I do think one of the reasons I really am so happy to have this at my disposal is because when you write in English, we just don't have all the rhyming possibilities that the Romance languages like Italian and French and Spanish do. And when a slant rhyme allows those of us that do write in English to take advantage of what's best about rhyme, you can have a stateliness or a formality or humor or childlike playfulness. And we get that musicality, but it isn't pat or predictable or cliched or forced or, worst of all, comical when you don't want it to be. And I think it really takes a lot of talent to write a rhyming poem where you couldn't just stop and everybody in the room could just like shout out the word all together, which to me kind of takes away from what I would expect out of a contemporary poem about anything but a kind of a funny subject. So I think I do know poets who do that. Richard Wilbur is one of my favorite examples. I remember coming across him in a class I took in contemporary poetry in high school, and I read several poems of his and just loved them. And then I realized later that they rhymed, and I thought, now that's the kind of rhyme I would aspire to, that doesn't like come out and shake you and say, look, here I am. So again, it's up to you whether you want to try this or not try it. But it does open up a lot more word choices, and I'm myself very grateful for that slant rhyme. So what you're going to do is you're going to write a poem where you use rhyme, internal rhyme, and or slant rhyme. And you can write a whole poem in rhyme if you want to, like a sonnet or a limerick, or just something as simple as Humpty Dumpty. So even just one couplet if you want to play with that. And you can, of course, as I said, use that kind of rhyme scheme, or you can just do a short rhyme, or you can just play with slant rhyme or even internal rhyme, whatever suits you. So here's your example. And I have two poems that are both written in a poetic form I really love called terza rima. Terza rima is written in three-line stanzas, which are called tercets, and they're linked with end rhymes that are patterned A-B-A, B-C-B, C-D-C, etc. In other words, the middle line of one stanza, that rhyme is going to be used in the first and third lines of the next stanza. So you make sort of a daisy chain. And there's not a specific number of stanzas that you need to use, but most poems written in terza rima end with a single line or a couplet that rhymes with the middle line of the last tercet. And I have a link if you want to read more about terza rima. And in my poems, I actually marked the rhyme scheme for you so that you can follow through, because I did use a lot of slant rhyme, and you can check out how I did that. And this first one is actually a rather hard poem. I wrote it after one of my cousins committed suicide, and it was heartbreaking to me that my beautiful cousin Bonnie could make a choice. And I like that, and I was trying very hard to figure out what could have possibly caused her to do that. And what I love about being a poet, one of the many things I love about writing, is that it really does give you a very safe place to put or contain difficult emotions. And sometimes when you're writing about a very difficult subject, the structure of rhyme and form offers a kind of support to both the writer and the reader. And this is called "It Wears Like Leather, Bruises." How strong my skin is, holding all of me the way it does, like fine leather, generous to a fault. It etches my history, tautens to fit my penchant for excess, a suitcase bulged with wants, exposed to scrapes, rubs, wrenches. Skin knows tenderness and anger, pelt of rain, the way wind dances over surfaces. Skin hungers for a lover's skin, the close pulse of a child's heart, suckle of small mouth. I won't loosen the weight of keeping what this sack of body has taken in, places it knows by touch. Gritty inlets, moss-rocked creeks, granite walls of distant canyons, this room where I tuck my own flanneled into bed. Skin flinches from fear or pain, darkens when bruised, chills, constricts when I see pictures of smiling children missing or dead. If they were mine, how to bear that chasm, the solid ground. This must be why wrists weep red, to unbind what refuses to be contained. And I have another terza rima, a much lighter one. And this poem was written right after my daughter graduated from fifth grade, and she was headed for middle school. And I was thinking about all that lay ahead for her in this new territory, and just kind of holding my breath for her that she would make it to the other side safely, which she has. I'm happy to say, being 27 now, with a baby of her own. And note in this poem that I chose to ignore the form in several places. And so I mark those lines with an X, because as I was working with this poem, what I wanted to say just I tried to get it to fit into that rhyme scheme, and there was just nothing. I tried a lot of things, and it just wasn't falling into that form. And I myself believe that it's more important to really go with the intention and meaning rather than trying to follow a rhyme scheme and having something there that isn't what you want to say. And one of the things I love about writing poetry in our time is that you really can break the rules and you can borrow wonderful forms and play with them, but you don't have to follow them exactly. So I want to give you that same freedom to have a lot of your poem be in rhyme. And I don't think this would work if it were exact rhyme instead of slant rhyme, because it would be so obvious that I wasn't following the rhyme scheme. But slant rhyme gives you that kind of extra bonus of being able to use a lot of rhyme and not always rhyme. So this poem's called Deep End. Even her hair floats. She's learned the exact angle of chin, elbow, to keep her eyes open. She knows the tricks to think. As long as you're on top, it doesn't matter where the bottom is. I watch my daughter, limbs spread on the water, trusting it will hold her. Now here's a reflection for you once you've written your poem. What was it like to write within the constraints of rhyme? Because there is a kind of a constraint there if you tried using end rhyme. In what ways did it challenge you or expand your thinking about what poetry is or nurture your creativity?